Kia ora, greetings and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. New Zealand was once a world innovator and leader in social legislation, especially in the late 19th century and early 20th century. It was out there in front, a beacon for a new way of being by empowering community and the human spirit, and again, in a late spurt in the 1980s, against the odds, became a nuclear-free country. In an endeavour to draw attention to the increasing insanity of the arms race and enshrining this newfound standing into legislation, the only nuclear-free country on Earth as of today. However, at the start of the 21st century, when we could have taken the lead and become the first non-genetically modified country on Earth, we dropped the ball and have been fumbling ever since, whilst big business within the corporate realms brainwash us and submissive politicians into thinking that genetic modified food will save humanity. And we continue to stumble with distortions and half-truths foisted upon us by a compliant media and biotech agencies pushing a hidden agenda. Though it's still on the schedule with conscious New Zealanders, the ideal of New Zealand becoming fully organic by 2020. However, it has to gain more traction. We definitely need more champions. So do you support this noble idea of New Zealand becoming fully organic? Do you want happy, healthy children and grandchildren? However, over in South America, the Democratic Bolivian government has taken one giant step for humankind by working to enshrine Mother Earth as sacred, and that we, who depend on the Earth for air, water and food, need to congratulate them heartily and recognize them for their deep felt vision. Because at the most genuine level of your being, you know that our planetary environment is under assault by machine and man. The very ecology we need to sustain our bodies, our family, and community is being eroded and poisoned by people who are disconnected from the magnificence of the natural world. The only parallel we have is by the Na'vi on Pandora in the futuristic movie Avatar. Remember, it was the miners and the military-industrial machine that was plundering the sacredness of their world. See the dignity in how the Na'vi revered all life and their mysterious connection to their animal kingdom and plant kingdom, especially the tree of life that they venerated. When they mentioned Earth, where the sky people came from, they said that she was once a mother and once was green. Are we connecting the dots here? James Cameron downloaded this epic story to metaphorically show what is happening in our world today here on planet Earth. With Bolivia leading the way, can New Zealand be a fast follower? The challenge being, of course, that the decision makers in the halls of power here in Wellington do not have any reverence for the biosphere and the web of life that connect all the life-supporting ecological systems that give them their breath today. And here we are, and Earth Day is tomorrow, the 22nd of April. What is Earth Day? Well, it came out of the USA, back at the end of the 1960s and the era of flower power, peace and love. And in 1970, it was inaugurated by a US congressman, and today is a huge event in America, and now more and more people and nations around our planet. And synchronistically, I like that word and what it means, tomorrow is Good Friday. And that is a special day because it is in reverence to the sun in the Christian realm, and this festival is actually based on the phases of the moon and after the full moon, to be exact. We now can see that even 2,000 years ago, the natural world was known as sacred because with a full moon, you have more light bathing our planet in a 24-hour cycle. So remember, the sun gives us light, the moon influences our tides here on Earth, plus all growth in the vegetable kingdom, and in the big picture, everything is related and nested in everything else, being part of a magnificent symphony that is part of a greater sacred cycle. So when we realize the source from where we spring, it is Mother Earth that furnishes us with bodies, and by means of the light of the sun, the Earth system dynamically bursts into life. So is it not natural to want to make sure that that which sustains us as a humanity, with all the tasty and delightful food, drinks, fragrances, and sights, is protected and acknowledged by us, her most fortunate of offspring, by celebrating Earth Day at least once a year? Of course, the people of ancient times did celebrate existence, especially all the matriarchal societies back in Neolithic times, 7000 BC, when people were more affiliated to the land. And today, there is now a great turning into an inner understanding of our connection to our invisible breath, the light behind our eyes, and the soles of our feet that connect us to the great sustainer, Mother Earth. In the studio this morning, I have Vinnie Eastwood of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, New Zealand's leader at the forefront of guerrilla media, leading people with insightful news and comedy at the leading edge of what's happening here in New Zealand and exploring the underbelly of New Zealand's politics, media, justice, corporate fraud and takeover, and anything else that links into the shadow and helps us to see the lighter side of genocide. Yet, constantly looking at solutions, truth, justice, and a fair society for all. Vinnie's show is on 5 days a week and is arcing up into America and in Northern Europe, where he's heard on 24 stations, and he's also heard here in New Zealand, inspiring a growing global audience to wake up, as we are now in the middle of a global corporate takeover, and that Joe Sixpack cannot waste his time fighting over the TV remote to see who's going to win the game that day. So, kia ora, and welcome, Vinnie.
It's quite a pleasure to be here, actually, Tim, because, today was my only day off this week, which I've had rudely interrupted.
My telephone call.
Yes. Well, this is the seventh straight day of radio. I did my show for 5 days straight this last week, and then I was invited on to a marathon broadcast for United We Strike Radio on the 15th of every month. They strike on the weekend, don't buy anything, don't do anything, and they do a 72-hour straight broadcast, and I was lucky enough to be invited on twice during that 72-hour broadcast with all these patriots and broadcasters from all over the world, all basically in one voice just saying, no, sorry, I'm not keen on being enslaved anymore, and we're going to keep talking about the fact that we don't want to be enslaved, because it's the fact that we're being told to shut up most of the time when it comes to our resistance that kind of frustrates people. And it's when you fight back that you start to realize, hey, it's actually not that difficult to fight back. It's actually really easy. And not only do I not get persecuted quite as much as I thought for fighting back, but I actually have lots of people come street and randomly calling me on the phone and all of that kind of stuff, saying, man, we love your show, this is great, I'm so glad that there's somebody in New Zealand doing this here, I'm so glad that people actually give a flying F somewhere over in America about this little dude coming in from New Zealand. Basically, it's everything that I ever thought I really wanted to be, was someone who had, well, let's say, faith in humanity enough to just do everything for everybody else that they couldn't do themselves. It was a few years ago now that I kind of quit my job working for a major telecommunications company and took my $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers that I got as a bonus for selling 93 business landline, broadband and toll call packages inside of a month and a half. yeah, I was pretty good at my job, and despite the fact that I was really good at making money at that kind of thing, that wasn't making me happy anymore. I watched like 160 documentaries over a period of 6 months while I was doing that job, and it's surprising just how quickly your mind can change if you leave it open for new possibilities. And what I saw was it perplexed me and disturbed me in so many ways, but the upshot was that there was something wrong with everything, and ironically enough, because everything was wrong, that also meant that whatever I was doing at the time was also wrong by extension. You can't live in a wrong society and be a right person, much like a sane man can't exist in a sane world. And what happens nowadays is that the people who walk around as though everything's perfectly fine, everything's sweet, I'm just going to go to my job, I'm just going to keep selling this crap product even though I hate doing it, those are the people that are, in my mind, clinically insane. Okay, because they are the ones that are taking the medications that cause suicide and homicide. They are the ones that drink aspartame, which causes holes in the brain. Those are the ones that are still paying major telecommunications corporations who completely screw them over with their phone bills. They're the people who drink Coca-Cola every day and, you know, subject themselves to level 6 toxic chemicals that you have to wear a hazmat suit to handle, and then they just water it down and sell it to you, okay? It's a clear reality that we live in an insane world. When you appear to be the only sane voice, you stop becoming the sane voice. You start to think, maybe I am the one who's crazy. But when I was a young kid, I never fit in. I was fat, and I remember when I was in Form 1, out of a class of 32 kids, there were two kids, including me, who didn't abuse me and bully me all day long, every day. And I went through bouts of feeling very sad about myself and about all this kind of stuff. It was much later on in my high school career, about the age of 17, 18, just as I was finishing school, found myself as the head of the prom committee, came up with the idea for the prom and organised it all, the music and everything. And in the assembly the next week, all the seventh formers had their names called out individually for all their contributions to the prom. Every single person in the seventh form contributed, and only one name was not called out in assembly to recognise for their contributions. And that was me.
That's a pretty heavy thing for them to do to you at school.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it was intentional, but it made me feel very angry. And you know, Tim, I think it's when people don't get recognised for what they do. If they do it out of love, if they do it out of good, if they don't get recognised, then they become hostile, they become unhappy, they become those people that we commonly call the elite, who have this aversion to happiness, this aversion to human life. And on that day, that was basically, in a nutshell, how I was feeling, you know. It's just like, if everybody, this sucks, etc., etc. All those negative, terrible things that you don't really want to ever feel. And maybe that's what part of life is that if you don't feel those things that you don't want to feel, you don't know how grand the alternative can be. Now I'm being listened to, now I'm being appreciated, and I'm still doing the exact same thing that I was doing back then, which was just giving and giving and giving, because I am an independent energy generator, okay? There is nothing that can stop me from producing energy. There is nothing that can stop me, well, apart from a bullet in the head, of course, but I don't think I'll tick anybody off, so that'll happen probably next week, maybe, but... Basically, I just try to be about as cheeky as you can possibly get away with. And I suppose if you smile and you laugh and you look people in the eye and you try to be really nice about all of this, you'll be surprised how naughty you can be as a result. In that token, I'm not entirely different from the elites, which I try to expose and make fun of and bully myself, you know, kind of thing. Because I do have all those dark tendencies, as we all do, the potential for ego and wanting to, destroy things, you know. I play violent video games and all of that other kind of stuff. But gradually I find that I'm being weaned off it as I work towards creating things that I want to see in this world. It's like Gandhi said, you know, you've got to create the change that you want to see. All major changes in this world have always have lay within us, and we only need to realize just how powerful we are to actually get it done. And people, for some reason, they don't see it. They've been conditioned to think that they're powerless, that they're pathetic, that they don't matter. And my perspective is that every human matters, every human life matters, and every moment matters. And, well, personally, my belief is that there's only one moment. It's this one. What are you going to do about it?
Excellent belief, because this is true. So many people I see just don't feel the passion for existence. It's disconnect. They're disconnected from your breath. They're disconnected from the earth underneath their feet. And really from community. And I'm really concerned that we need everybody right at this moment to participate, because it's their future, it's our future, and of course it's children's future of today and tomorrow.
Well, again, you're talking about how we need everybody, and I'm not sure we need everybody, but I'm sure we do need to value everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like Joe Sixpack, as we referred to earlier, is not the person who you're looking for that will, for some reason or another, wind up making us a very wonderful society, because I think that Joe Sixpack has never made a difference, and conceivably never will. But then again, if you have a look at society, there's always been some description of generational Joe Sixpack caricature throughout history. They've never made any difference, and yet the world keeps on changing and changing. And it's because it's the small, determined group of individuals that always make the difference, and Joe Sixpack will do what he's always done, accept it.
Yes, in the end, they would support you, but it'd be fantastic if I'd get in right behind you at the start. We need the initiators to be backed up fully by people ready to bring in the change. Well, Vinny, of course, you've had this show going now for some time, 10 months, and, of course, been up in the States in particular, you've got a good following.
Yeah. I'm consistently astounded by just how much people appreciate. I think Americans have become isolated from the rest of the world. They've become the most entertained, the least informed on the planet, and incidentally, the most obese and the stupidest. And our country is following suit, just like Australia, just like because it's a global system that is making this happen. It's not by accident that for some reason everybody's morality is being shaved off like a plank of wood being planed every day. It's not a coincidence that the education system discourages people from independent thought, from independent questioning. It's not an accident that the government agenda keeps happening the exact same way, with privatisation and the usurpation of people's liberties, rights and individual sovereignty. It's no surprise that it's all coordinated, because, hey, if it wasn't coordinated, some good things would happen occasionally, but they never do.
Well, this is one of the biggest problems. You see, I cannot understand. Everybody's saying, oh, look at all these billionaires and multi-millionaires, and yet we don't hear of any good works from them. We don't actually see them going and saying, okay, let's see what we really can do in Africa. I mean, I know that Bono and his clique thought that they'd be able to solve all the problems in Africa, but the global bankers said we didn't have any money. But as soon as they had a calamity, a big financial collapse, all of a sudden, all this money mysteriously comes from somewhere to solve that problem.
Well, it's a problem that they created, so it's no surprise then, of course, that they managed to be able to get it when they needed it. That's the problem that we have here, is that we have a controlled society, and it's not controlled in a very top-down, dictatorship-type way, per se. It's an interconnected web of top-down dictatorships, okay? Every corporate CEO has an inordinate amount of influence under everybody in that corporation, and this system of which I refer to refers to itself as the New World Order, which is basically calling themselves the Old World Order, just trying to dress itself up, you know? It's like a 90-year-old having Botox injected into a face or something along those lines. You know, it's just a total fraud, and that's no surprise either, because, you know, if the system wasn't a total fraud, you wouldn't be lied to all the time. And this may sound hard to believe, and that's because it's the truth. If I was lying to you, it'd be very easy to believe because I would package it in such a way as to make it acceptable to you. And in my experience, the truth is often the least acceptable out of all possibilities.
You see, the other thing that I've got, Vinnie, and New Zealanders and people in the West have really got to get this one. At night, from 8:30 onwards, people can go and sit in front of their TV set and watch a murder. And that's every day of the week. Always watch a murder. And then they have the summer series of murders at 8:30 on New Zealand's major TV One. They're turning us into ghouls.
A dishevelled, moralless, spineless society, essentially, is the type of society that operates purely in the physical realm, using physical motivations, physical demotivations. You know, like, for example, I don't want to go to a protest because I might get smacked up to a cop. I don't want to go and pay that lady who has a very nice dress a compliment because she might slap me in the face. And that's both your motivation and your demotivation, and that's no way to live, because if you have a soul, if you have a mind, then it trumps all those physical realities, and you realize that your perception is far more powerful than them. And that's kind of what I try to do with my radio show, is all these terrible things that are happening. You know, sure, I'm not going to deny that the world is a terrible place run by evil people, and that we're all basically slowly being exterminated one by one in many, many ways, from the poisons in our food supply to the poisons in our air supply to the poisons in our information supply. You know, it crosses all boundaries and all borders. So essentially, there is no escape. So there's no excuse to be upset about it, because if you get upset about it, you're not going to do anything. You'll just become depressed. And depression is simply anger minus the motivation. If you get angry and you start doing something, you'll find very quickly that you'll still stay angry, but you also become happy because you're accomplishing something. And when I go out with a camera and I ambush, say, John Key or Helen Clark, as I've done, it makes me incredibly happy, particularly when they're at their events, when they least expect it, and you get to drink the wine and eat their hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that, and blend in with the crowd whilst dressed as a wanker.
Well, I don't know how you would dress in such a way.
Well, you just kind of have to wear a very nice suit and all of that kind of stuff. I have a cashmere jacket. You know, I can walk into any... I can walk into any very, very ritzy type gig, and I look very clean cut and all of that kind of stuff. So they don't see it coming. It's because they have decided that the way a person looks in the physical realm is far more important than the way that they think and the way that they do things. And I understand that to a certain extent, politics is about appearance as much as it is topics. People will vote for John Key because he looks pretty, and I'm sure that's a perfectly reasonable excuse to vote for a politician for some reason. Me, I kind of look at politics as the policies of the party are the reason why you would vote for that party, to see whether or not the politics of that party match up with my own personal beliefs. If they can't represent me, then I don't want to give them any power. Now, the problem with our entire political system is that there are no parties, in my opinion, that exist currently today that represent a single human value that's left anymore, or at least none of the parties that are in Parliament anyway. And so it's no surprise that, of course, we've got the Search and Surveillance Bill, and we've got other legislation being introduced of recent days, and other government policies like mining and all of this other kind of stuff, which is being flown in the face of the public, who are absolutely opposed to this, basically diametrically.
Yes, well, I think we need to talk about this, Vinny. Just recently, an urgent bill was rammed through regarding copyright. Now, we've noticed in the last 2 years that the National Party in government has been pushing more and more urgent bills through. We had the fiasco there, of course, around Hobbiton, where the Hobbit, where Warner Brothers came down and told the New Zealand government, if you don't change the labour laws so that we can pay less to the workers, then we will not film The Hobbit in New Zealand. Consequently, the New Zealand government changed the laws in the face of a lot of people who are outraged by it, and it became law, just like that, bang, and now people have to take less amount of money solely because a multinational corporation from the United States of America came in and dictated how we in New Zealand, a sovereign nation, should do life.
Therein lies the problem, because it would assume that perhaps this one particular corporation, full of scumbags, you know, from America or whatever, would be very, very nasty and naughty, and you really don't want them to be coming in and doing that. But of course, that's when you're looking at them as an isolated incident. Whereas if you take the long view and the broad view, and you have a look at all the connections between all the major corporations that are currently operating out of New Zealand, they basically have the same owners, or they basically are follow the same methodology, and they operate under a systemic methodology in the New World Order sense of the word, whereby you don't actually have to convince every member of a corporation to be an evil scumbag. You only need to convince one person, the CEO, and you can place that person in a position of trust, and he can then dictate to the rest of the company for you. And meanwhile, he can implement agendas for that company, while every other company involved in this type of evil system will just be implementing their own little agendas, completely unaware of what the other people are doing. So in a way, you wind up having a system of global control where you can use terrorism, and in my opinion, to force governments to do things that ordinarily they wouldn't really want to do at all. But of course, that's assuming that the government's not complicit in all of this, which I believe that they are absolutely. And you can see it quite evidentially if you just take the last 30 years of New Zealand politics or so, starting with the 1984 Rogernomics reforms, which are basically a textbook case of what World Bank and IMF policy to third world countries is, which is, in a nutshell, get them monstrously in debt, remove all the protections that they have for their citizens, nationalize and seize all their assets, take away all the liberties and voting rights of people, and just basically wind up propping up dictators. And in New Zealand, that basically fits to a T. We have a prime ministerial dictatorship. Our assets are being taken off us. We've got the search and surveillance bill taking away all the citizens' personal liberties and rights, including the right to remain silent of all things. And Nazi Germany was never that bold as to put this stuff into legislation. But now we have people who are that bold, who are that psychotic. And how do you deal with an enemy like that? And I think that there's a couple of tactical advantages that we have. And today's a prime example of this. You called me up about, 50 minutes before I was supposed to be in here for an interview? And here I am. If I was a member of a major corporation or something like that, I would be very slow to move, very slow to react. That's why we're beating them in the alternative media, because they're too weak, okay? They have everything built up on this system that requires everything else to be working in just such a way in order for the whole thing to work. Whereas us, on the other hand, patriots, people who actually give a flying F about their country or their people or humanity or the planet, we follow no rule books. There is no training manual, and you can't beat free humanity. It's never been able to be enslaved in its entirety, and I don't think that it'll ever be possible to do that. However, just like in every other major attempt at world dominance, whether it be the Roman Empire, the Nazi Germany, or the current American Empire, as is self-evident, they fail. They fail catastrophically, monstrously. And essentially, what I really want to try and do is make their failure absolute and complete, because the problem is that we have is that we've got this and now this phenomenon where you'll look at a story for 30 seconds that'll make you think, oh my god, that's really terrible, maybe I should do something about, oh, and now this, and then you forget about the last 30 seconds of information that you've absorbed so that you can listen to the next 30 seconds. And that is a way to make a memoryless society. Those who do not remember are doomed to keep repeating what they've done already. And that's the reason why everything's progressively getting worse, is because people don't remember how good things used to be. And if you do that, there's no telling what you wind up getting your country into. I'm a young guy, I'm a patriot, and ordinarily somebody with my type of exuberance, if we can call it that, I would wind up joining the military or joining politics, and then I'd merely be the good apple jumping into the bad barrel. I figured that the reason why society is so greatly manipulated is because the media is controlled by the New World Order as being all the producers and all of that. They're either working for intelligence agencies or they're being advised through other people who are, or it's just all absolutely retarded or something, you know. A producer at TV Close Up, I think it was. Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network was coming here, and I made a DVD for him and all of that. And the producer said to John Eisen from Uncensored, when he asked him, he said, "What's fluoride?" It's like, for goodness sake, how can so many stupid people rule the world? And, you know, there's a good reason for that, is because they've got stupid people working for them too.
Yes, I agree. There's an old saying, things are getting better and better and worse.
Yeah, yeah, everything's getting better and worse at the same time, you know, no truer thing has been said. And which is why, you know, a lot of people for some reason, they think that they get demotivated when it comes to this this sort of topic, because it's like, oh, I don't care about this, you know, it doesn't affect me. And it's like, well, hold on a second, politics affects you every moment of every day. And you're like, oh yeah, how's that? Okay, did you wake up this morning? Yeah, okay. How did that bed that you're sleeping on get there? Oh, well, you know, I bought it from a shop. How much tax did you pay? Oh, I paid 13%. Okay, that's now 15% the next time you want to pay a bed, because you didn't say to John Key, "F you, I'm not paying extra GST," just like you promised me that you wouldn't up it to.
Yeah.
And now they're looking at upping it again. Okay, it's when you remember and hold somebody accountable, when you enforce transparency, that's when you keep things on an even keel. And there's people like Penny Bright and Vince Seymour and Evelyn Gilbert and all of these other, I don't know, I'd probably say dozens, if not near on 100, Kiwi activists that I've interviewed on my radio show. And I've interviewed more Kiwi activists than anybody in this country's history in such a short period of time. And I've made more of an impact on the international radio scene than any New Zealander has in terms of patriotic talk radio than any Kiwi ever has. And it was only because of the fact that I just decided, you know what, me and my producer have a saying, I'm doing it any effing way. Because nothing can stop me. I'm a freight train. I am a freaking locomotive. And it doesn't matter what track blocking that happens, I'm just going to plow through it and keep doing it. I'm not sure if it's because it's what I like doing just by itself. I think it's more like I can't stop. I'm addicted to getting things done. I'm addicted to meeting interesting people and talking about amazing topics. I'm absolutely addicted to criticizing government. I'm addicted to making media that tells the truth. And so basically, I'm just a drug addict for goodness.
Well, that's a lovely way to express how you feel. I'm speaking with Vinnie Eastwood of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, Vinnie, of course, there are so many agendas happening at the moment. We're basically suffering from what you call full-spectrum dominance, which is a military term out of the US High Command. And yet, on the other hand, here we had a Murray Horton just come through very recently, who spoke about New Zealand's being sold off. 8 billion around about 1986, now it's something like about 80 billion in 2006. New Zealand has been bought by overseas people, and New Zealanders are still comatose.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and again, this goes back to the media not informing people. The very concept of any type of free independent media or journalism is to give the public information by which they can make decisions so that they can then tell their representatives in Parliament to enforce their will. Now, what's happening instead is that once every 3 years, a completely uninformed public votes for a puppet, and then the puppet now enforces their will on the rest of the country, right? So we've gone complete full circle, topsy-turvy. That's why I've decided that alternative media is now going to be my life's work. Most people don't find out what their life's work is because they never spend any time or effort to try and figure out who they are as a person, what they want from life, what motivates them, what they want to gain, and more to the point, what they don't want to lose. What I don't want to lose is a nation where people actually care about each other and have strong communities, where you can walk up to your neighbour's house and ask for a cup of sugar, and instead of them pointing a shotgun in your face, you get a cup of sugar. That's the kind of country I don't want to lose. But what I want to gain, however, is total independence. Now, at the moment, 85% of New Zealand debt is to foreigners. Our bank, central bank, is basically a private corporation, and it issues currency out of nothing. It gets the country monstrously into debt at the rate of, currently, according to a BNZ chief, $450 million a week. When John Key started, he said, oh, it was only going to be $250 million, and then it was $300 million, and then it was $350 million, and now he hasn't even admitted this, but, you know, $450 million. What direction are we going in?
Who's giving us this money? Where are we getting it from?
Well,
every country's broke.
Every country is broke. And again, like I say, not by accident. White papers were leaked from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund back in the, I think it was the early 90s. And you remember Argentina used to be a very, very prominent first world country. They had great public assets. They had their own water supplies. They had their own power supplies. Their government wasn't corrupt and all of that. And then they took all these loans from the IMF and World Bank, and the country just went radically downhill. A police state was ramped up, all their public assets were privatized, and it was freaking chaos in the streets. Their banks went bankrupt, people lost all their money, and yeah, it was just a big tyranny, and now it's basically a third world country by comparison to how it used to be. That is New Zealand's future, because the same IMFers and World Bank scum are trying to do the exact same thing here. Now, there's a good thing and a bad thing to this, is that it's been done before, so we know how to defeat it. The Bolivians, for example, the great, great test subject case, is when they tried to privatize the water supply there. Million and something Bolivians were on the street, up in arms, and they're just going, no, no, no. And they did not stop until their water was nationalized again. Okay, and that's despite tear gas, that's despite rubber bullets, that's despite live ammunition, okay? And it's the thing, when you get an idea in your head that you're willing to take a bullet for, no force on heaven or earth can stop you, okay? That's the reason why I think I feel so powerful. It's because I realise that. I realise that both me and you, Tim, and almost everybody else that I associate with are incredibly powerful beings, and I can't predict or see just the great things that we're going to wind up accomplishing, right? It's more the fact that I just like the process. That's why I like talking about virtually any subject or any topic, especially the ones that make me feel uncomfortable. I prefer to be wrong because it means that I can then correct being wrong, okay? If I was never wrong, ostensibly, I would never wind up being correct, because, hey, anybody who thinks that they know everything obviously knows nothing, and somebody who assumes that they know nothing is probably close enough, you know? and you know, I operate under a lot of assumptions, I do, and the problem is I've become one with the assumptions, I've become one with the madness. Because I do understand that it's because we've been holding on to these preconceived ideas about what the world is or what the world should be, that we've been led down this garden path. It's because we've been refusing to admit that we were wrong. You know, I had to admit that I was wrong. I had to admit that, selling people products that made their life just a little bit better wasn't enough. I was basically wasting my potential. But now, I've just come down seven days of straight radio, and each and every minute of it I've been absolutely loving. All the people that I've been talking to on radio are the greatest minds and thinkers, and just genuinely nice people that you will ever meet, and this becomes my entire world now. Imagine how you would feel if the only time you ever associated with other human beings, you were associating with people that inspired you, people who made you feel happy, people who made you feel loved. You would feel pretty inspired, happy, and loved all the time, wouldn't you? Now, this is what people have really got to understand, is that there are toxic people in this world, and they will do the direct opposite for you, and you need to cut them out of your life like a cancer, because they will bring you down, and quite likely will actually, in fact, give you cancer. It's like human life is a gift, right?
Major gift.
You don't have any idea what your potential is until you take the handbrake off.
And open the garage doors and get out there and have experience existence.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're on a spaceship, man. We're traveling at warp speed. We're traveling faster than the speed of light, faster than the speed of creation. So why exactly, under any circumstance, would we become apathetic? Okay? And that's one of the real important things to note about our current society is this overabundance of apathy. Have you noticed that, Tim? So many people don't care.
There's a malaise that's fallen over the Western world.
Yeah, yeah. And it's abundantly clear why that is as soon as you have a look at the fundamentals. The fundamentals of a human's life is that the more power that they have over any given situation, the more they will care about that particular situation. Okay, for example, if, I don't know, let's say there's a big rock in your front yard and it's after the Christchurch quake. Nobody's got a crane big enough to lift this rock, and so you think, oh well, let's just leave it there, okay? I don't care about it anymore. And that's not entirely different from how people are now feeling about politics, because we're having voter turnout less and less, and it's because people have realized that it doesn't matter who I vote for, nothing changes. It's the same crap, different day. You know, and so it's no wonder why they feel powerless, is because all the mechanisms by which they were supposed to be able to express their power, express their opinions, have been inexorably taken away from them, incrementally, one little bit at a time. Our communities have been destroyed. Our power structures, particularly in local government, with this rammed through super city forced amalgamation, no wonder people are feeling apathetic, man, because you try to get anything done from the council these days, there's this clock out in West Auckland that's like a couple of hundred years old or something along those lines. Somebody has said that it hasn't been working for months and months and months, right? The council still hasn't gotten anybody onto it. And so is that the reason why people don't care what their politicians or government officials got to say? Because they think that they can't accomplish anything. And they're actually true. And when they think that, because your government is not your God, your government is not necessary, your government is a weakling, okay? And you are the strongest one, okay? The most strong person in your life is yourself, okay? And if you choose to do nothing, then you are basically forgiving your own weaknesses, okay? And I don't think that we should forgive our weaknesses. I think we should simply move on, because there's nothing. We should be apathetic about our weaknesses and very, very motivated with our strengths, because those are the things that will actually accomplish something. Now, often we argue with others about these sorts of things, and my perspective is it's on the points that we agree that we should come together and collaborate, and on the points that we disagree, we can just leave those arguments for another time, because it's an impediment to actually accomplishing something good right here, right now, with another person of like mind. Like, Tim, you and I disagree on, say, global warming or not, but, you know, to be honest, I don't mind at all. The disagreement pales into insignificance when we contrast it with how much we do agree on, you know? And even if we didn't have any agreements whatsoever intellectually, we still need clean water, clean food, and clean air to survive. So on those commonalities alone, we can still come together and destroy evil corporations by boycotting them or mounting big media campaigns against them. And that's the reason why I have virtually no empathy anymore, is because every time when I look at a problem, I see a solution very quickly, because I see other people being part of it with me.
Good. Let's see if we can nail a few solutions. What you feel that we need to do to individually, as family and community, because we need an uprising of awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think uprising of awareness. Now, let's take those three tiers. There's the individual, the family, the community. Now, all three of those things are sort of under attack at this particular moment. The individual's becoming apathetic because they feel powerless. The family's under attack, and, you know, we've got 50% divorce rate now, and as a result, we have a lot of absentee fathers, so young men are becoming big drug abusers, and they don't know how to have proper relationships with women, and as a result, the community's breaking down as well. So it's a one-step, two-step, three-step thing. So, and again, the solution is a one-step, two-step, three-step as well. You need to realize your individual power. Okay, well, when I go on the radio, I'm very conscious of the fact that I can have an effect with just the words of my voice. I just had a $100 donation to my radio show yesterday, and it's like, wow, great, I can pay my rent this week. Yes. You know? And so that's your power as an individual. If you can affect other people, then you don't feel quite so alone, okay? That's why people have been encouraged to only think about themselves, is because then you forget how powerful you are when you're with others, okay? And the most important thing I find about being an individual is finding others of like mind and discarding those who aren't going to help you get anywhere or do anything, because those people are wasting your individual potential, okay? If you want to be a filmmaker, don't hang around with people who don't want to be filmmakers and won't help you be a filmmaker, okay? And it's not that hard. You can go out to, I think it's like every single party that I go to, I find somebody of like mind, and I'm actively looking for them, okay? And when you're looking, you always find them. Seek and you shall find. You have no idea just how many amazing individuals are out there who are looking for someone just like you to come into their lives randomly whilst drunk as a skunk. Now...
always?
Well...
No.
Whatever your forte may be, you may just be high on life. And the second part of that equation there is the family. Okay, now, family units are the most important thing because they allow the raising of a child. Now, children, when they grow up, they have to be endowed with certain principles in order to operate as functioning adults, right? For example, they need to know how to have a stable relationship with a man, a stable relationship with a woman, and a stable relationship with family, and a stable relationship with other individuals. Now, the easiest way to learn how to do these is by example. Okay, if you have a father who has good friends and is not violent and is very creative, then the child will learn how to have good friends, will learn how to be creative, okay, and maintain relationships. And likewise with the mother. The mother is extremely important because of the empathy factor. Women, I find, are far more empathetic. Men will not care about a situation that a woman will find absolutely abhorrent.
Yes.
And this is the reason why you need both a mother and a father in a family unit, because it balances out that equation. That's why people who have stable family relationships often have stable family relationships themselves after they leave home and find a wife or a husband and wind up raising a family. They have well-adjusted children. It's because you need balance. You need to see both the yin and the yang, both the masculine and effeminate. And unfortunately now, we've got so many chemical sterilants and things of that nature in our water supply and all over the place, that not only is our birth rate dropping, but also our testosterone rates are dropping. And masculinity is basically on the decline to a large extent. And what's happening now is that young girls don't have strong male role models in their lives either, and they wind up getting themselves into promiscuous relationships that don't really go anywhere, and they wind up getting depressed because they allow men to take advantage of them, and this is because they didn't have a strong male role model in their life to teach them what a good man is, okay? And that's the real thing about family, is that you need a good man with a strong woman, and then you will wind up with very well-adjusted, balanced children, okay? And that's what we normally had. But that was the result, primarily, of hundreds of years of families reading the Bible to their children, instilling those sorts of morals and ethics and things of that nature. Now, I don't read the Bible, but I certainly can understand morals and ethics, and I very much live like them. Kind of like two scientists can reach the same conclusion via different scientific means. Certain people can raise children very, very well without the original advent of Christian dogma, right?
Correct.
So there's no restriction, essentially. You can reach the same potential no matter which way you go about it, so long as you're trying to live it in purity. Now, let's have a look at the third aspect of this, which is community. Community is more or less similar, in my opinion, to technology. Technology is an expansion of your potential, okay? Like, doing this radio show is an expansion of my voice, okay? It gets recorded so it can be heard by many people at the same time, so it's not like I'm talking to a conference only once to, say, 10, 20, 100 people or so. It can be repeated over and over again, many, many different people at their own convenience. Now, that's very much what community is about as well, is supporting those human potentials. If you have a street, for example, and this was true back in the borough council model, where one individual takes responsibility for the reporting to the local council about the upkeep of the street, okay? And for some reason, because one person takes responsibility for the upkeep of the street, another person takes responsibility for, I don't know, possibly coordinating the children of the street, or so on and so forth. And it's about bringing all these little individual aspects together, bringing all those families get together, and coordinating them in such a way so that it becomes a independent, resilient support unit. Now, there's a community in, I think it's Totnes in England, called Transition Towns. And what they're doing is quite fabulous. They realised, mostly due to global warming propaganda, that's just my opinion, of course, that they really need resilient communities. Now, regardless of them reaching the same conclusion as me, I don't agree with the reason why they reached the conclusion, but I agree with what they're doing. They're making the entire community motivated to use unused land to grow vegetables. Mm-hmm. Grow their own biofuel, and they're making the community much less reliant on shipping, transport costs, things of that nature. That's the way a community should operate, where you create something that doesn't exist currently that benefits the community as a whole, okay? It has to benefit everybody in some way. The only way it can benefit everybody, on the other hand, is you have to involve everybody. If everybody's involved, then both the individuals who want to link up with other like-minded individuals and the families who want to have family support units and the communities that need to be resilient all come together. One step, two step, three step, and it culminates individual power, family power, and community power. Now, insert into that evil or tyranny. You will find out that resilient communities are the kind of communities that you don't want to F with, because they really value each other. The reason why our communities in this day and age are so easily manipulated is because they've been taught not to value each other. Via the media, via the education system, and of course via their own experience of not being valued in their jobs, working dead-end occupations and just to get a paycheck every week and barely being able to survive. That's not a formula for motivation. That's not a formula for people being inspired. That is not something that is even, well, even worth considering as an appropriate life choice, in my opinion. Lastly, the motivation that I have to create alternative media, I have a very open agenda based on sort of open source software. Open source software is where you have developers and programmers and users and all of the different people down the links in the chain all working together to create better programs and create a better community online for free. That's what I think we should be heading towards in terms of our government, is an open source government where people are actually capable of contributing online via letters all day, every day, you know, without that extra added apathy tacked on. That sounds like a good idea. We need a revolution, Tim. I completely agree with you, and that's why I named my my video series Mr. News. It means Media Revolution News. Because if you want to have a revolution in society, you need to have a revolution in the media first to facilitate the revolution in the mind, which will then translate to a revolution on the street. That's my goal.
And your revolution, of course, has always been that of the heart, though, Vinny. You've always been a man to go there and laugh with the enemy.
Yeah, well, you've got to use the weapons of the enemy against them, and you can use propaganda for good, just as you can use it for evil. And I think that as a man, the one thing that I like to do is kind of build things. I want to build empire, and I want to build relationships. I want to build, build, build. And as a result, every time you build something, you find you've created something out of nothing, you know?
That's right. I mean, I can come in here in the morning and I've got nothing, and then somebody will come in like you and we'll do an interview, and then I'll edit it, and by the time I leave the studio, I've got a program. Wow, something from nothing. And the times that I drive home feeling so good and so empowered, wow, that's fantastic. It makes you feel as if you're achieving something. And then the fact that it can go out through the Sky Tower across Auckland and then be picked up on three different internet servers, it's getting it out there.
Yeah, yeah. And when you accomplish something, it's like a bullet to the head to apathy. Okay, and that's what I think we really need to strive towards, is we see apathy as the enemy, and the true weapon against apathy is accomplishment. And every day that you have on this earth is another 24-hour period for which you can accomplish untold amounts of annoyance for the establishment. And me personally, I used to be bullied a lot in school, as I said earlier, and then later on I actually became a bully in school. I used to abuse people, and I think it was I was a product of my environment at that point. And so now I'm using those skills, both my knowledge of being bullied and being a bully, to bully the bullies.
You're shifting it up a few levels.
Yeah.
The thing that I found out with Star Wars, the first three movies of Star Wars, they were rebelling against the Empire. The Empire were the establishment. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke Skywalker, and Princess Leia, they were the rebels. They were the revolutionaries who wanted to get rid of the establishment, Darth Vader, and the Emperor. So we must realise today that what we need to deal with is a system that's done its life, that it done its distance.
And I just have one thing to say on that note, and it's a quite a good closing statement, but I think we've got a little bit more time. But it's a great saying, and it really illustrates things, that particularly evil, you can fill a room with darkness and light a single candle, and the darkness will be chased away instantly. But you can't do the reverse. You can't walk into a room full of light and happiness and love and bring darkness into it. And that's what we really need to do as individuals, families, and a community, is share the light amongst ourselves to keep out the darkness together.
Brilliant. Thank you, Vinny. Cheers, brother.
Ciao, bro. If you would like to check out my radio show, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to either AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, that's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. You can check out my blog at GorillaMedia.co.nz, that's G-U-E, not G-O, like a big ape, although I am rather large. And the final one, you definitely want to check out my YouTube videos, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media on YouTube, and basically see a whole lot of political scum that I've ambushed with a camera and watch them squirm. And it gives me a lot of pleasure, and I'm sure you'll like it too.
That was Vinny Eastwood of TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. I would like to draw your attention to the Green Planet Earth Files. This is a section of this program that covers points of interest that you, as listeners, can become involved. This way, the Green Planet program can facilitate positive options to bring about reducing our ecological footprint, acting in truly sustainable ways, and work towards becoming more carbon neutral. The only Earth Files we've got for this week is recognise Earth Day tomorrow, 22nd of April. Breathe out a blanket full of love for this planet so that it is breathed in by everybody and all biota, and particularly the people up in Japan who are silently suffering with no support whatsoever. Yes, Earth Day, Friday the 22nd of April, tomorrow. Blessings to us all. At 9:05 Thursday, this program is streamed from the Planet FM studios at planetaudio.org.nz/greenplanet, and for iPod and streaming can be obtained 6 hours after broadcasting on greenplanetfm.com, holisticliving.co.nz/greenplanetfm.html, or itunes.com search health. You can also follow Green Planet FM on Twitter at twitter.com/greenplanetfm and facebook.com/greenplanetfm.
New Zealand On Air chip in with some money, so Aucklanders have access to radio that's all about us on 104.6 Planet FM.
How's it going?